So very true. We saw that yesterday. God is faithful no matter what. No matter what we think we can do or can't do, God makes it happen. In preparing this message for today, I didn't realize that it was going to tie in with yesterday. Because I had this thing in my mind before last week. Because I knew I was going to be so busy last week that I needed to get a head start on the message for today, because I didn't think I'd have time during the week to work on it. So this was actually before last week. And now lo and behold, it ties in with yesterday. As I had mentioned, God gave this task to the team in these four counties, right? The OCC team in these four counties to pack 1,000 shoeboxes. And okay, once it was debated and said, okay, we'll do it, the natural inclination is, okay, we got to do something. We got to do it, you know? And it's a monumental task. And you feel compelled. You got to get started right away. We got to work on it. We got to get all these pieces together. We got to get everything organized. We have to do this. We have to do that. Well, as we saw, as days went by, it wasn't so much us doing all these things as it was the Lord doing them and providing and everything. We were kind of along for the ride. Yeah, there was a lot of labor involved and a lot of things that had to be done. But the point is, it was the Lord doing them. It's just amazing. And if we had gone off and done things on our own ideas about what needed to be done, you know, preparing for this and who we needed to talk to and whatever, you know, without so much prayer involved, I think we would have been off in left field someplace. And who knows how it might have turned out. But I want to give you an example. Excuse me. You can put the first scripture up. This is from 1 Samuel. And this has to be with King Saul. This was at the time he was made the first king of Israel. And God had called him to be king. And through the anointing of the prophet Samuel, okay, this was all going to happen. And Samuel had met with Saul, explained some things to him and everything. And this is one of his instructions to Saul. And let it be when these signs come to you, he had told him, certain things are going to happen as kind of a confirmation that this is for you and you are the chosen one of God. There were going to be certain signs that would demonstrate to him that this was all true. When these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So here are some specific instructions to Saul. Okay? Go on ahead of me down to Gilgal. Wait for me there 7 days. When I come, I will give you further instructions and I will offer burnt offerings to the Lord. Now you have to remember, back in those days, it was the Levites and the priests, the only ones who could make these offerings to the Lord. Saul was not a Levite. Okay, he was from the tribe of Benjamin, not from the tribe of Levi. So he was to wait until Samuel came. And Samuel will explain everything further to him and make the burnt offerings and everything. So, okay. So now we jump ahead. That was chapter 10. This is chapter 13. So then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. good sized army, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth Avon. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gilead. As for Saul, who was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. So Saul did part of what he was supposed to do. He went down to Gilgal. He waited 7 days for Samuel. Samuel didn't come. So he took it upon himself to make the burnt offerings. And naturally, as soon as he did, who comes but Samuel? Right on time. Okay, there's more. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." See, I got to do something. I got to do something. A lot of us are in situations like that from time to time. Maybe it's something that needs fixing around the house. Maybe your dishwasher broke down. Maybe there's something else that needs to be fixed. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe God is giving you something to do, but you're not sure exactly what to do or when to do it. And there you are. I feel like I got to do something. Have you ever been in that place before? You just feel like you got to do something? Yeah, I've been there. Made a lot of mistakes that way too when I went ahead and did something. Okay. I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." You think, simple thing. All you had to do was go down to Gilgal, wait till Samuel comes. Don't do anything until Samuel comes. He waited 7 days. Samuel didn't come. When Saul thought that Samuel should have come. But Samuel wasn't late. This was kind of a test of Saul. Are you going to obey the Lord, even though what you see with your own eyes seems to contradict what you have been told? The instructions that Samuel gave him. I'm sure if you're in Saul's place, you can think, well, gee, something's got to be done. Where's Samuel? But Samuel was just around the corner coming. But Saul couldn't wait. He felt compelled. I got to do something. Well, he did. But because of that, not trusting the Lord, not waiting on him, he did the wrong thing. And God, in effect, told him, "I can't trust you because you won't do the things that I command you. Therefore, I'm replacing you with someone else who will do what I command you." And I think this was somewhat of a test, too, for the OCC team. Are you going to do what I want you to do? Are you going to go off and do your own thing and trying to make this happen? or you're going to wait on me, prayerfully offer up prayers. Lord, we need your help. We can't do this ourselves. We need your help. And lo and behold, the help came pouring in from all unexpected places and different times and everything. We didn't have to do nearly as much as we thought we would have to do, because God did so much of it and took care of so many things. Yeah, there was a lot of hard work involved, but God never said, I'm going to give you better roses. I'm not going to make it so easy for you, but I am going to do it through you. He says, I'm not giving it to you to do, I'm giving it to you so I can do it through you. See, God does it all. So if you're ever in that situation where you know something needs to be done and you feel, I got to do something, but you're not sure what, because maybe you got several different choices, or maybe you just feel like, you know, something is better than nothing. Doing something is better than nothing. Well, that's not the case. God wants us to trust him, to exercise faith that, Lord, okay, at the right time, you'll give me the wisdom I need, or the direction I need, or the resources I need to do what needs to be done. But sometimes we feel compelled to do something because we want a situation remedied, or a problem fixed, or whatever. And we can't seem to wait. It's hard to wait on the Lord. It really is. Especially if you're yearning after something that, you know, maybe has bothered you for a long time. I want to finally get this thing fixed. Yeah. Tired of waiting on the Lord, are you? But God wants us to trust him and to look to him, knowing that, as Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. How many times have I said, every breath I take is because he gives it to me. I can't take the next breath without him. I can't do anything without him. Absolutely nothing. But here, the beauty of it all, though, is that God wants to do it through us. And that's what we have to learn, that he's the one that does it. He gives us the strength, the resources, everything, providing that we trust him, we believe him and what he says, and we wait on him. And that's the hard part, too, waiting on the Lord. But as Isaiah said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I think we saw a lot of God's working, not only yesterday, but every day since that decision was made back in April, that yes, we'll do what the Lord is asking us to do. And I praise God that all of you and the people in the other churches and others that weren't even affiliated with any of the churches heard the call and decided to do what God is calling us to do. But here again, not on our own strength. Just saying, Lord, we need this, or we need that. And there it was. And offers of help from people we didn't even know. Contributions from people we didn't know. Like my wife said last week, this woman comes in because she needed to talk to one of the other ladies from OCC, not from this church, obviously. And while she was there, I forget what business she was, what it was involving, I don't know, but she needed to talk to her. So then she saw what was going on and everything. She says, oh, I want to make a donation. She wrote out a $150 check. Amazing. She also happened to be a woman that works where my son works. She recognized the name, and that kind of, you know, established a bit of a bond as well. But just how God brought people together and how he brought everything together. So it's important that when you're in a situation where something needs to happen, don't do anything without the Lord. Don't just go ahead and do something for the sake of doing something. Chances are it's not going to work out very well. Pray, trust the Lord, wait on him, expect to hear from him, and just do what he says. Even if it's wait a little while longer, because the help I'm going to give you, it's not the time yet. I wish I would have learned that lesson on a while or years ago when I faced some situations and felt compelled to do something. That's the wrong thing. You know that old saying, if I knew then what I know now, things would be a lot different. So in any event, I'll leave the message there. We had a lengthy discussion about yesterday at the beginning of the service, and I don't want to prolong things. It's getting a little bit late anyway. So praise God. I hope you get the understanding and the meaning of what I'm trying to share with you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, your ways are different. Your ways are higher. Your ways are better than our ways. Help us, Lord, to understand your ways. Help us, Lord, to always do things bathed in prayer, to trust you, to wait on you. And as the video said, that you are always faithful, no matter what. When you give us the call to do something, you will ensure that it gets done because you are the faithful one. No matter what. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're feeling, no matter what we think we're seeing, things could be seemingly falling apart around us. But Lord, you are faithful no matter what. And you will see us through. So whatever the situation is, Lord, a task you give us, something that has upset us, a personal problem, an issue, no matter what, you are faithful. And you love us and you will see us through. And thank you for all of that, Lord. And thank you again so much for yesterday and for every day leading up to it. Because you were in each one of those days. You blessed each one of those days. You provided each one of those days. And you will do that in the future as well with anything else that you might give us to do. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for it all. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.